All right, guys. I think there's four of us here, five of us. So it's been a couple weeks since our last call, and I guess, first of all, I'd like to kind of go around and just kind of get an update, see, you know, what's going on with everyone and if there's anything else I can help out with. Yeah, Vince, since you were just talking before, what's new in the last couple weeks for you?
Well, I've been doing quite a bit of stuff, but I think the most important thing for the ACTS is that I'm switching over to the owner-occupied list instead of a non-owner-occupied list. I think with the non-owner-occupied, it was just one more reason for them not to want to let me go kick out their tenants that they already have in there and find someone else to rent to own.
Right.
So I've got the yellow letter mail.com campaign ordered, another 200, so I should get those probably Friday.
Okay.
I've talked to at least one seller on Saturday, and I've got a couple more outstanding calls, and my VA's said her target is 8 leads a week. So we'll see if
Great.
I get 8 this week. Yeah.
Question about the list. So the non-owner occupied one, is that what Ron LeGrand was recommending sending to, is the non-owner occupied?
No, that was probably, I don't know why I came up with that. I probably thought of that when I requested the list, and I, well, okay, I'll just go with people already or have been landlords before or investors or something, or thought maybe I'd pick up people who had properties that they had inherited or get all sorts of different situations.
Now, was it a list with equity or was it a low equity list?
It was pretty broad. It was non-owner occupied in South King County that was any dollar amount that had been purchased at least 3 years ago or refinanced at least 3 years ago.
All right. The non-owner occupied list is like a really good list. In fact, I think everybody should be mailing it. But when I'm doing the non-owner occupied list, I'm looking specifically for the folks that have equity. So I'm looking for like 20 plus years, and I've done a list of homeowners who bought between 2003 and 2005, and that one I did a 500 postcard mailing to. I actually did not buy a house in that list, but I'm going to resend them a letter and do a yellow letter this time because I think that I'll get a much better response with a yellow letter. So that's kind of why I was curious. So I like to see how your owner occupied list does. And then are you getting your mail for $1.09 from Yellow Letter Mail?
I'm spending a little bit more because I'm going for the first class stamp. You can get them, I think, for $1.09, maybe even 99 cents each if you use standard rate instead of first class.
Right. Okay. All right. So it's like a dollar. Isn't it like $1.17 or something like that? Or
well, with the Joe McCall discount, I believe it's $1.34 minus his discount of a few cents.
Okay. Because I was thinking, I had another investor tell me that they're trying to get it. It was around that price, but I think they ended up getting it cheaper in the end. So I don't know if you can negotiate. Or I guess it all depends on the volume. Did you buy more than 1,000, or did you go for the lower amount?
I did 200 this time.
Okay. That's probably why.
Yeah. So it's $260 for it all to arrive in a package for me to inspect before I drop it in the mail.
Okay. Well, because I'm about to buy 1,000, so I just was curious as far as the pricing. All right, cool. And then you said you're getting rid of Pet Live.
Yeah, I canceled that. They're a great company. I really enjoyed working with them. It's just I didn't feel I was getting what I needed out of it. The live answering just didn't seem like it was helping me get more leads or convert to a sale.
Right. Okay. And then are you just going to have them go to your cell phone then or a Google Voice line?
Yeah. And on that I've got a simple message that says, "Hi, this is Vince Michelle. Please leave a message," which is consistent with the yellow letters that I'm sending out.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then did you get the email that I got back from regarding the townhome that I'd sent?
Yeah, thank you very much for that feedback. So it sounds like I'll want to go a little bit lower on the offer than what he's asking, and probably $90,000 or $85,000, and if he's going to hold the note on it. otherwise I'd have to go even lower if I used my private money.
Yeah, so just for benefit others, I think you had one where he was trying to sell it for like 119 or 117. It wasn't selling.
Yes.
It had expenses around like $820, or no, what was the expenses? It was like six, no,
It says
800
about
something,
850. It was about $850.
and it rents for about $1,050.
Yeah.
And so you'd have about $200 positive cash flow.
Yes.
Okay.
But
For townhomes, I typically will adjust my offers down versus a regular single family house, just because homeowner association dues tend to be high. And then, for other people listening to the call, with townhomes, you always have to make sure that you know that the homeowner association, if there is any pending assessments, like if the roof is old and needs to be replaced, then they have to take the money out of their bank, which hopefully they've saved up money over the months and years to apply towards large repairs. But if they don't have enough money in it, then they'll put a special assessment on the properties, which means, it could be. I had a friend who had two townhomes in one complex, and I think there was a siding and a roof replacement, and I think it was like 20 grand per, 15 grand per unit assessment. But it can definitely like screw things up if you're not buying right. So normally on a free and clear, I'm willing to pay on a fully financed, like zero down deal, with principal only payments, I'm willing to pay 90 cents in the dollar minus repairs, minus 90 cents ARV minus repairs. With a townhome, I might adjust that down to maybe 85 or 80, and that would be with a minimum 7 year cash out or balloon payment with substitution of collateral.
I
So.
wanted to ask you about that. So you're talking about a balloon payment. So how much do you finance, and then how much do you leave for as a balloon later?
Well, so basically what ends up happening is, let's say that you buy that for nine, for it's let's say it's worth 100, and you buy it for 85, okay? And let's just assume for it doesn't need any repairs, just to make the numbers easy. What I'll do is I will make a payment. Usually I will set the payment to the seller, would be no higher than something that would give me like a $300 positive cash flow. So you're kind of tight on this one. It doesn't. I don't know if there's a lot of money left to pay the seller monthly if you've got the HOA and taxes and insurance. I think there actually is a little bit, but figure out what you can get for rent, subtract 300 for cash flow, and subtract taxes, subtract insurance, subtract homeowners association, and then the net that's left is cash you can pay to the seller each month. So let's assume you can pay the seller $300 a month. That would all go towards principal. So if you had the property with a balloon payment, let's just say an eight, 8.5 years, let's say 100 months, 400 a month times 100 months is $40,000. So you would have purchase price 85, then 400 a month for 100 months, and the balance of 45,000 would be paid as a balloon payment in 100 months. So everything goes towards principal, and the reason that you can pay 85 or 90 cents on the dollar is because you're paying down that principal so rapidly that by the time that you end up cashing the seller out, you owe them much less than you end up paying them to begin with. And then the other thing is substitution of collateral is the clause you can put in the note, so that let's say after 3 years, let's say you found a tenant buyer, somebody in the house, and they wanted to buy it from you, and the market goes up a little bit, and you can sell it for say 120 in 3 years. Well, you still have over 5 years left on the note to the seller. But you can do one of two things. You can tell the seller, hey, I'm coming into some money. Instead of paying you off in 5 years, by that time you might owe them 70 grand or something like that. Instead of paying you off in 5 years, seven or 5 years, what if I paid you off now? Would you be willing to take a discount on the $70,000 that I owe you. So maybe you can pay off now for $50,000 instead of paying them in 5 years for $70,000. And if the seller doesn't want a discount now, then what you can do is you can take that $70,000 mortgage that's on the house. It was $85,000, now it's $70,000. And you can substitute the collateral. So move that mortgage to a property that you own that has equity, and then resecure it. And then you can, when you end up selling, you're basically selling a free and clear house at that point. If you don't have a house that has equity, then you can use the proceeds of the sale, so $70,000 that you otherwise would be paying the lender off, and use it to pay down the mortgage on another house. So you free up $70,000 in equity and then resecure that seller's note on that house. And what you end up doing is you end up paying off interest-bearing debt with zero interest debt by doing that. So if you have any questions about that, I did a video kind of, because this is kind of confusing to explain on the phone, so I did a video on YouTube. If you Google, or if you just do a search for substitution of collateral in YouTube, you'll see it should be the first video that's up there. I did it like 4 years ago. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I remember that. You have cardboard cutouts of the house, and okay, that was pretty fun.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. How about anything else for you?
Oh, boy, that's probably most of it. Yep.
Okay. All right, and on the call also for you guys, I'm getting three houses in a contract this week, and I'm doing it a little bit different where the seller leads are coming from, so I wanted to be able to share it with you, but I want to go through everybody first. So, hey, David, are you there?
I am.
David, so what's new with you, man?
Well, I haven't closed anything. Follow-up calls, several, and I'd have to agree with Vince regarding the properties that have renters in them. I've been able to get those, you know, to the almost point and continually keep getting back to not being able to show a good value for, you know, doing the lease option, because basically what they come back to me with is it's not that much different than what they're already doing by having renters in there.
Right.
So these aren't people that are under distress. They're non-owner occupied properties.
Okay.
So I'm thinking the properties that are rented out, I'm probably not going to spend my time on those unless, you know, they have a lot of equity and I could buy them for another reason, but not for the acts.
Sure. You know, I understand that too. I've had sellers that have called me from marketing that have a rental property, and it doesn't make sense for them to sell on the lease option because they've already got a tenant in place. And sometimes they just want to sell the house with the tenant in place because they're done being landlords. So that those don't really work out right with AX deals. Obviously, you can still do the other stuff, you know, buy it with the tenant in place, you know, cash them out or do some sort of owner financing where sometimes if there's a tenant in place, they like getting the income, but they just don't like the management and the hassle. And in those cases, I like to make an offer where I can say, hey, if I can buy the house and give you the same income each month that you're getting from your tenant without actually having to manage the tenant and take care of any of the maintenance and all that, would that be something to consider? And that would be the offer that I would usually do if it was a free and clear, you know, seller finance deal. So with the AXE deal, though, I don't think that those are going to be ones that's going to work out with. But I that's why I think going after the for rent section is probably the best. Because if you're going after the for rent section on Craigslist, you're going to not be talking to people who have properties that have tenants in them. So I think that's the best way to go.
Sounds good. Yeah, so I don't have any real updates beyond that.
Okay. All right. Cool. So who else? Chris?
Hey, I'm actually calling in from Kansas, and
really?
I'm on vacation right now. So I don't have any news at the moment. Other than I'm going to be talking with Marilyn when I get back about getting that purchase paperwork going. So
they got great deals on houses there in Kansas. You got to be looking to buy.
Yeah.
Well, they do, but as I learned from the Alan Cowgill thing, there's a little bit of a difference for getting private money and using it across state lines. And basically, it may not be too difficult, but I don't want to get into that for my really first deal.
Sure.
But
how long are you over there for?
I'm just here till basically Friday morning. I'm driving back really Friday morning. So I'll get back in Washington like Saturday night.
Cool.
So.
Well, good. Have fun. And then I guess when we get back, we'll hit it hard on talking to sellers over on this side of the water, this side of the country, I mean. Who else is on the phone call?
This is Sally.
Sally.
Been working with a company called Postcard Mania, and
uh-huh.
I've got my own marketing specialist, and she calls me a lot. She hasn't refined the list, but we've talked a lot about what I want, and she says they're running specials and all this. So I'm writing yellow wet letters that I can put lists into.
Okay.
I got stuck at the doctor's office for a day, and that that was a good format. I couldn't do anything but write yellow letters.
So cool. So wait, now what is Postcard Mania doing for you then?
They're giving me lists.
I can
buy lists from them.
Got it. So, what kind of lists do you typically get from them? Are you like?
Well, I started with a 2003 to 2007 purchase, and I asked for 3-bedroom, 2-bath,
okay.
And then we talked about. Maybe the first default, she can't get me that. So we're just kind of staying pretty general at this point.
All right.
So probably owner occupied.
They're obviously charging you for the list.
Right.
You can get, I for that type of list, it's an easy list to get, and the title company will give it to you. It's not going to be free, but it might be $2 for a list of 5,000 or 10,000.
For the whole list?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just paid $2.60 for a list of 7,000 addresses, owner-occupied, in South King County.
Yep.
Do you mind saying what title company?
Any one of them.
Stewart Title, and I can get you a name.
Yeah, so I don't recommend going to any list companies for any list that a title company can pull. And so those are going to be mainly like, any list where it's a geography list where the information is public record on the county, you can go to a title company, call them up. If you've not done a deal and you don't have a relationship with the title company, call, get recommendations from, you know, folks at REAPS or whatever, or other investors, and call them up and ask for what's called a farm list. So somebody in customer service at every title company is in charge of helping out realtors primarily, and then investors also, by giving them marketing lists. So realtors get those lists all the time. When they get a new listing in a neighborhood, they will often call a title company and they'll get a farm list of all the houses within, you know, a 1 mile radius, where they'll send a just listed postcard or they'll mail an area to try to find people who are looking to sell. So just call them up, say, I'm looking for a farm list, and give them the criteria, ask them to send it to you in an Excel document, because sometimes they'll actually, you know, for another fee, they'll print them up on mailing labels, which obviously you don't want to do, especially if you're sending yellow letters out.
Right, right.
Email them or call them with the criteria you're looking for, have them send it in an Excel sheet, and then after that you can whittle down in Excel to eliminate the houses that you don't want to mail. So what ends up happening when you do a marketing campaign is you say, all right, how much money can I spend on this campaign? And a campaign is going to be multiple mailers. So if you're doing a mail to like a non-owner occupied list or to a list of low equity deals, so 2003, 2006, or whatever, you might want to send them out a yellow letter once every 3 months for a year, okay, so maybe 4 mailings. And if you're sending them once every 3 months, since you want to be able to mail every single month, you divide your list into 3. and you mail the first third month on month one, the second third on month two, and the third third on month three. And the number of people you mail is going to depend on the marketing budget that you can set aside to mail them. So let's say that you're willing to spend $200 a month.
Okay.
And just for round numbers, let's say you can mail out a Yell letter a buck a piece. If you can send out 200 a month, that means that you're going to send, or if you can spend 200 a month, that means it's 200 yellow letters, which means that your total list size that you want to mail is going to be 600 people. So 600 divided by three, you know, one half third for the first month, and the second month, third month, that's going to give you your 200 per month. So if you get a list from a title company that is that has 3,000 people, then you need to whittle the list down from 3,000 all the way down to the best 600 prospects. So what I typically like to do is I go, all right, what are the best 600? Well, it's probably going to be, it's probably not going to be houses that are like one-bedroom houses. All right, so I'm going to eliminate all the one-bedrooms. In fact, if a list is 4,000 people, it's probably going to eliminate all the two-bedroom houses. So I'm going to go, let me find all the three-bedroom, two-bath houses. If I'm looking for axe deals, wholesale lease option deals, I'm looking for nice houses in nice areas. So I might actually want to find homes that were built more recently because there's a greater chance that they're not going to have deferred maintenance. So you keep whittling down until you can get to your best 600, and then you set those aside for your mailing. It makes sense?
It does. It does.
Okay. So that's what I would do. And if Postcard Mania has not actually given you a list yet, you might, and depending on what you're going to pay for that, you might want to call them up and cancel the order or something.
Okay.
You
mentioned too that I could get some of this from the realtor, but to let do something for him before I asked him to do something for me. And I'm meeting him on Wednesday.
Oh yeah, for a realtor, right.
I'm meeting him on Wednesday night to
okay.
write up a short sale.
Cool.
So if that one looks promising, then I might talk to him about a list from him.
Yeah, well, the list, you don't have to go through the realtor. You can just call the title company up directly. So maybe, Vince, if you can email Sally or the title company that you use.
Yeah,
then,
I just did.
Okay, cool.
Actually, I'll just send it out to everyone, too, in case anyone else wants it.
Thank you.
And here's the thing. Whoever you get a list from, make sure you're using them for your closings, because that's the only reason that they're providing this list, because the expectation for you to do future business with them. And so that, therefore, if the title company Vince sent to you, if they're not one that you're going to use for closings, then you might want to just use one, you know, go somewhere else.
That's
so,
fair. Yeah, it goes around, comes around.
Exactly. Yep. So cool. Anything else going on in your world?
I'm working on two axe deals. One, I have the paperwork for him. He's going to be back in town Saturday, and his wife's in Texas, so I've got to figure out how to get her to sign it, too,
okay. So
without spooking him with too much legalese.
Sure,
And then, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, do you feel like he's going to be nervous about signing?
No, I really think he thinks that I'm an out, and he's really tired of this. He's in San Francisco, and his wife's in Texas, and he's over-leveraged. I ran the figures on what the rent should be, and they don't match what he says the rent should be. So I need to get a handle on that, because
sure.
The lower I can get it, or the more market rate I can get it, the easier it's going to be to find a buyer.
Right.
So that's a piece of that one. And then the West Olympia one, he's still talking to his wife. So I need to pin him down, say this time or this time.
Okay. So I think that one of the things, now, were you talking before about when I was mentioning about the going from trying to sell them on the deal to was that you?
About 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
you said something like, don't sell. And I changed my strategy. I mean, I even changed my voice to, you know, how can I help you?
Sure.
And it's made a difference.
Sure. So basically the philosophy on this is that you don't want to put yourself in a position where you have to convince somebody to do business with you, because especially with the lease option, when you don't have a chance to build rapport with a seller over the phone, it can come across as being salesy, and people have a natural aversion to strangers trying to offer them something. And so I'm trying to take the outlook of not trying to sell somebody, but you know, kind of feeding into their pain a little bit, saying, hey, you know, I've got a solution, but, you know, it's not for everybody. It may not be right for you. You know, but is there a reason that it didn't cost you anything, and if anything is for the advertising, is there any reason it would work? And, you know, it's okay to tell me no. You know, and so I'm not trying to be pushy about saying all the benefits of lease options and that sort of thing. And that seems to always work better. So you said you found it been working better when you're talking to people that way?
It has. It has. And then finding the people in pain, as mm-hmm. you know, the people who are new on Craigslist are not necessarily the people who are desperate.
Yeah.
So I'm going for the expired listings.
Right. There's going to be a lot of rejection in this. Quite frankly, I think I talked to a lot more people than I ever will ever do deals with. But it's a numbers game. And I know that there's kind of been, you know, it seems like there's been a little bit of challenges or frustrations, you know, with saying, how long is it going to take for me to get a deal here? But I'm going to give you guys the three deals that I'm doing this week with something that you could get a house under contract, you know, this week, easy. What I did is I'm on other investors' buyers list. And I received an email from a couple other investors that had houses for lease purchase. And so I called them up. I said, hey, you know, would you be interested in doing joint venture? I've got a list of buyers. I'd like to be able to send them out to my list. And it was an instant, easy sale. And, you know, which I'd do the same if I had a property and somebody called me and said, hey, you know, can I send them out to my list? So if you can do that, that's basically called co-wholesaling. And obviously the benefit is, you know, once you start getting properties that you're advertising, that the entire game changes, because now you never really feel like you're in the game until you have an opportunity to take a call where you can actually make some money. So that's something that I would recommend, is getting on the list of as many investors as you can. And if you see somebody has a property to offer for wholesale, whether it's like a wholesale lease option or whether it's a junker to wholesale, call them up, say, hey, can I send this out to my list? And ask them, you might want to ask them what their assignment fee is. And one of the ways that what I've done it is if a seller's getting a $5,000 assignment fee, what I might say is, I'll tell you what, if I can get a, you know, a flex option on the house, and I can send it out to my list, you know, if I brought a buyer, could we do a 50-50 JV? You know, if you find a buyer yourself, you don't owe me anything. But if I find a buyer, would you be willing, you know, if you didn't have to do the pre-screening and the showing of the properties or whatever? And if they won't go for a 50-50, then find out, well, what would you be willing to go for? If you could get $3,000 and I could get $2,000, would that work? And I guarantee you can get a property under contract really easy doing that way. And then once you have them advertise on their website, then you're fielding calls, then you have a chance to make money, and then I think it kind of just helps with the motivation and just helps knowing that you're actually in the game now. So I've got two of those. I just finished video tours. I got to get them on my website and get them out. And then the other one was actually, it's a lease option that I'd already advertised like 3 years ago, and from a seller. And the tenant moved out, and he put a renter in there, and then he had a bad experience with the renter, so he actually called me up. So obviously you guys won't have those yet, but you know, if you get these lease options in the pipeline and you find tenants, every now and then you're going to get one that will bounce back. And that's not the first. I've had a couple in my life that tenants decided not to buy and they moved out, and the seller came back and called me up and just said, hey, you know, you want to do it again? And then you have a chance to make, you know, your assignment for the second time. So that's my tip.
Cool.
So is there anything else here that we can chat about? Any other questions you guys have before getting off the call? Okay. Well, why don't we do this? Give me an email or call me sometime this week if anybody wants a little bit of help, especially if you have any sellers that you want me to be on the phone with you as like a conference call, or if you want me to pitch them on the phone while you're on mute in the background. Give me a call or send me an email, and then I'll do that. If that can help, I want to be able to do it. So find a seller that might have some interest, and then tell them that, or you know, give me a call, and I'd be happy to get on the call with you guys and conference in. Sound good?
That's good.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. All right, guys. I'm gonna get this recording on the web, and I will talk to you next week.
Bye, Mike.
Have a good one.
Thank you.